Hi, this is Al Pettaway, and I live in Weaverville these days. I've been in the Asheville area for 15 or 16 years now. It doesn't seem like it's gone by that fast. But I used to live in the Washington, D.C. area. I play guitar. Nowadays, I'm known more for sort of a Celtic finger style mixed with Appalachian blues. But it's one of those things you can't really identify as well as other music. But I'm still doing that and still playing some electric guitar just for fun. That was where I started, of course. But, okay, I was it was the summer right before my senior year in high school. And I was in a band, of course, and we were huge fans of what was going on in rock music at the time, which would have been Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton. Most of the we did a lot of Frank Zappa music, believe it or not. But we were at the same time, I was really interested in folk music and played stand-up bass and little folk acts in the high school. So when I heard that some of my favorite artists were going to be all in one spot, I mean, they used to have these sort of festival-type concerts in the Washington area that I went to sometimes twice a week for $1 or $2. but when I saw all these people in one spot, I thought, this is really cool. And of course, Woodstock was something that to me seemed like a foreign country, and I was a kid, you know. So I 16 years old, and we all just said, why don't we go? Why don't we go? And of course, I was the only one who had parents that said no, so we had to come up with a huge scheme. Once we discovered that the local music store, this was in Northern Virginia, once we discovered that the little music store up the road was selling tickets along with a bus ticket to take you right to the festival grounds, we were there. We were like ready to go. And because my parents said no, I had to come up with an elaborate plan. So we ended up covering for my absence by saying I was going to Virginia Beach to visit a friend. And then, of course, after Woodstock, we all went down to visit that friend, and my dad picked me up at the bus station coming home from Virginia Beach. So they were never wise to what actually happened until years and years later. To get there was the tough part, because we got to the parking lot where the bus was leaving about 5 minutes late, and the bus had already left. So they called ahead, and the bus actually pulled over and waited for us to catch up to them. Someone drove us up there, and everybody was sitting outside. It was hot. They were all sitting outside, really upset that we made the bus stop. But we got on the bus, and we got up probably within 20 miles, I guess, of where the festival ground was, and the traffic was just stopped. So the bus just let us all off right there. And we, of course, hadn't planned on that, so we had a big, heavy duffel bag full of canned food and and a guitar and different things. We just had to hop on cars. So it took us most of the day Friday just to get there, hopping on cars that were moving every once in a while. So by the time we got there, it was raining. And I mean, I don't remember if it was raining when we got there. It was just raining by the time we got to where the music was. But at any rate, the first musician I remember seeing was Melanie. And we were just so tired by that point that we just went and tried to find a place to camp. And our big goal was to see the rock bands, obviously. You know, I was a big fan of Johnny Winter. He was there. And Blood, Sweat, and Tears, they were there. See, who else? Jimi Hendrix was obviously, that was my biggest one that I wanted to see. A lot of the other acts I wasn't even aware of. I think Santana, I can't remember if I knew about him yet or not, but after that, I was a big fan for sure, because I don't think I'd ever seen them. But at any rate, we went to find a camping spot the first night, and it was raining so hard, and we were so stupid that we camped kind of close to a pond. And I woke up in about 6 inches of water the next morning, just soaking wet and cold. And so it started right off with just a miserable experience, you know, just trying to not be hungry and not be cold. And it felt like, I don't know, felt crazy to me that I was even in this situation. But we got up, ate something, the rain stopped, we went and walked around. There were all these beautiful booths set up, which a lot of people don't know about, but when you see those little signs on the Woodstock photos where it says happy or groovy way or something. I don't remember what it said, but they had signposts all over. And my first impression was no matter which direction you went, there were just as many people going the opposite direction, you know, walking. And I'd never been in a situation like that because I was, you know, Alexandria isn't like New York City or anything, but it was really impressive to me to see that many people in one spot and all these booths set up with all kinds of crafts and, you know, t-shirts. And of course they had all these communist pamphlets, anything you wanted really was there. I ended up buying a couple of posters and of course those were for friends of mine and I don't have those anymore. But one of the guys I was with had all his money in a little pouch and within an hour that was gone. Someone had nicked it right off of him. So we started off kind of in a negative space, I guess. We were still feeling good, but it was just sort of like, well, now what do we do? Well, we have to wait for the bus to pick us up on Monday, you know. And that's probably we had friends that were leaving at that point because it was just a bunch of mud. And they said, we'll give you a ride back if you want. And we were like, nah, we're just going to see how it turns out. So they are kind of jealous of us now because we ended up staying and having that experience. Well, like I said, I went up there to see Jimi Hendrix and everything got delayed. I mean, I remember waking up the second morning, I think, and I could hear The Who playing. And we were all fans of The Who, too. And I rolled over and told my buddy, I said, I think The Who is playing. And he said, no, this is just someone's stereo, you know. And so I got down to where the music was, and I watched the end of The Who set. And I think that right after them was Jefferson Airplane. And I saw them, and that was a great set. And then the rest of the day that on, I think it was Sunday. See, each day is blurred in my mind now as far as which day was which. But there was one day where it was really hot and sunny all day long. And we sat on a hillside and watched all the different bands, and you know, Santana and Canned Heat and all these people that were on. And then at nighttime, I remember seeing Johnny Winter. That's one of my clear memories. Johnny Winter with the lights coming through his white hair, just playing. He was great, you know, and I loved Johnny Winter. And then we stayed up to hear Crosby, Stills, and Nash play. And then after that, we just nodded off and went to sleep and woke up to Sha-na-na. So it felt like we had gone back in time or something. It was really amazing. But everything had gotten shifted because of all the rain. And, you know, the rain would stop the festival and things would just come to a stop. And so everybody would just do whatever they did. And I remember people burning down the stands that were selling Cokes and hot dogs because they thought they were charging too much. And they used they almost look like a teepee shape, like a triangle shape. And they just used the wood to build big bonfires to keep people warm. And so it became more of an experiment in seeing if that many people could live peacefully with each other, I think. And the music was sort of the background to the whole thing. So by the time Hendrix did come on, which was sometime on Monday morning, I think, we were pretty much burned out at that point, and he came on and he had a new band, and I was so upset because I really wanted to see the trio, the Jimi Hendrix Experience, because I had seen them at the Hilton Hotel in Washington, D.C. when they first came out and was just blown away. So when he came out with this other band, I thought, well, I'll see what they do, and they played a couple of tunes, and I was sort of, you know, all of us, actually, me and my friends, we were all sort of disappointed, you know. Here was our hero, and he was just playing songs that the band didn't know real well. And to me, it just, for some reason, I was disappointed. But I still loved the fact that I had seen everything else. And Hendrix was still my favorite guitar player at the time. So I went from there, and we went and had lunch. And I think, you know, we, of course, benefited from the people that were giving away free sandwiches, because by that time, there were no vending places and nobody had any money. So I think you would have had a much worse situation if it wasn't for those people giving away food and water and stuff like that. I think Woodstock was a memorable festival. I may be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure it was the first one of its kind. at least in my experience, I hadn't really seen too many outdoor festivals where they had dozens of artists playing that were covering all kinds of music combined with a big arts and crafts festival. And I think they were kind of the template for everything that followed because it was so successful. Although I think so many people tried to imitate it or to at least get that same feeling, and it never quite got there, in my opinion. And even now, I mean, my daughter, when she was 16, I went to the Woodstock 25th anniversary, and that was different. You know, I mean, she showed me some pictures and things, and it was, she had a lot of fun, but, you know, they had ATM machines and things. It wasn't like the same. We were up there with no food, no water, and we had to have the military come in to save us, you know, so it was a really different situation. And I'm thinking this 50th anniversary is going to be, it'll be like credit card heaven, I think. You're going to be able to buy anything you want, in, you know, with a credit card. It's going to be so different. We didn't even have, I mean, I don't have any pictures because I didn't have a camera. I didn't have a film camera. Nowadays, you're going to have people with all their phones taking pictures. And it definitely can never be quite the same. And, you know, after the festivals that followed Woodstock that, you know, didn't quite live up to that. I mean, I think you had Monterey. That was probably the first big one. And then Woodstock. And then the ones following Woodstock, I just don't remember. I never went to any of them. I just felt like all of them were, just from the beginning, weren't quite living up to what I thought I would, what I thought I'd experienced there. So I never even tried to go to one of those. I did manage to, like I said earlier, I did manage to buy a couple of posters, and I brought them back home, and I gave one to my sister, and I gave one to my girlfriend. I had to throw away most of the clothes that I had because they were just so saturated with mud and just stink. That's something that, that doesn't come through the movie at all. That place smelled like, you know, the city dump. It was horrible. And I don't think I'll ever, every time I go to the dump, now I take my trash to the dump every few weeks, and because we don't have trash service where I am. So we, you know, we pile everything in the van and we take it down to the dump. And every time I go there, the smell makes me think of Woodstock, which is too bad. I mean, but that's it, especially at the end, it was a sea of mud and just every piece of trash you could imagine. It was so messy. And I'm sure nowadays they would be much better about picking up their trash. But back then people just threw stuff on the ground and it was horrible. And they did other things too, I think, that, you know, that helped the smell, so to speak. But it was, you know, you see all the great stuff about it kind of outweighed all that stuff. But it really was a disaster site. I mean, people were, they were suffering on the level of, like, I think I was so thirsty, and water, people were selling water, you know, that's how bad it had gotten. There was no water to be had. There was only a few places, you know, they had a few porta pot things that you could go use, but there weren't that many because they didn't expect that big of a crowd. And so people just went wherever they could. And then as far as food, the first day was the only day I remember where you could actually buy food if you wanted. The rest of the time you had to try to eat what you had or go to the farm people and say, I need a sandwich. But it was weird. It was definitely not as great in that respect as people kind of have in their mind. I think it was more of a hardship. And I think physically, I say this, you know, whenever someone asked me, I think physically I felt worse than I'd ever felt, but emotionally and mentally, I probably felt the best I'd ever felt. So it's really an interesting combination in my memory. Was, you know, this, it changed my life forever. It made me into who I was and who I am now. Just the music I play, everything about it changed my life forever. I became, you know, sort of a peace-loving hippie, I guess you'd say. But it, you know, I never want to go back to that physical environment again. That was horrible. I guess it covers most of it. I'm trying to think if there's musical things. I remember, you know, one of the bands that just blew me away was Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And I don't know if they're in any of the movies or anything. I haven't seen any of the newer releases, but they just were great. And Johnny Winter was another one. I don't know if, I guess they didn't have contracts signed for them to use their images or something, but I just wish people could see some of those performances too, you know. Maybe in the 50th anniversary, they'll be able to release some of that stuff. I don't know. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, it would.
Get a bunch of the stuff they didn't use and make another movie. Well, and I think there were a lot of artists that just, you know, how you have to, before you play, you have to sign a release in a lot of situations like that. And a lot of them just didn't, I don't think they either wanted to or they just couldn't because of the record companies or whatever. I heard a lot of stories about the way people got paid or didn't get paid or whatever. And I imagine that was a nightmare for the people that organized the event. But now I'm sure that most of the people that own the rights to those bands or music would love to see them in another movie, I would think, personally, you know. So a lot of them aren't around anymore, but, you know, it would still be great to see their sets. See if they're as good as I remember. Sometimes I'll be playing and feel like I'm just, you know, just not doing well at all, and then afterwards I'll have people that see me all the time say, oh, that was one of the best shows. And you just, I think you get so much inside your own head sometimes you don't realize, you know, how it's coming off. Like, I think, I don't know, I've played with a lot of musicians who put on shows, and in my case, I'm not really like that, but I mean, I think I've seen people sometimes put on their best show when they weren't putting on their show, when they weren't feeling so good, so they didn't do all the same shtick and all that stuff. And so sometimes they just end up playing the music in from a different space, and I like that, you know. I won't name names or anything. But
Oh, well, this is great. I think you got it.
Okay. Well, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I'm glad to be sort of a part of it, because it really was, for me, the biggest event I've ever had. Hello, this is Al Pettaway, and you're listening to WNCW Spindale and WSIF Wilkesboro.